Yeah, I just wanted to add one or two points when we were discussing Bharana Karakasthana. You must take note of the karaka of the house. Alright? For example, I mean how the karaka stays. For example, Saturn is the karaka of which houses?
6, 8 and 12
houses. So his energy is different for the three houses. You know, the sixth house, he has the energy of Brahma. Brahma is the creator, because from our sins we are created, Shadripus are sins. So we are created from that. So the energy is of Brahma. And in the eighth house is the energy of Yama. And in the 12th house, what is the energy in the 12th house? Narayana. Alright. So you must see the exact how is the karaka placed when the Bharanakarakasthana is there, the karaka is the final remedy. And when we are talking of all these benefit planets that we've been talking, redeeming benefit planets and all of them, basically we are referring to Jupiter, Mercury and Shubhapati out here. All of you know who's Shubhapati? Yes? Shubhapati is the lord of the moon sign. Okay. So basically Jupiter is the energy of Shiva, Mercury is Vishnu and Shubhapati is Brahma. Alright, this is the three energy. This is the, when we are saying a strong benefit in Kendra, a strong benefit here, a strong benefit there. The ideally who can protect all the time is Jupiter, Mercury and Shubhapati. You will see eventually we take Venus also as a benefit when we are doing Rishabhanga. Alright? Shubhapati is the lord of the moon sign. Huh? Shiva is Jupiter. Mercury is Vishnu. So why is Sun Madanakarak in the 12th house? So Sun is a spiritual planet.
But Sun gives life.
Yeah, Sun gives life, so it shouldn't be in the house of death. That is one. And it also means, you know, that it prohibits having any sexual intercourse in the daytime. If you do, then there is something called a Brahma Dosha that comes in. That is related to Sun and 12th house also. Okay. And the 9th house, we told you, the devil preaching the Bible.
Can you say a bit more about Sun in the 12th house? I find it difficult. So many leaders.
Yeah, there is a... Yeah. A lot of the sun has to, a lot of people are
it's just rising. It's quite powerful, the sun.
Yeah, see, it's rising. But sun is Madanakarak. There are many reasons. Basically, 12th house primarily is the house of death. It is the house of death. It is the house of going away. Whereas sun is the creator. You know, he is, in that sense, the karaka for lagna. He gives life. So, first and 12th house are completely opposed to each other. They are negating of one another. So sun completely has no function over there in the 12th. Sun is good in the 12th in the sense that sun is the biggest giver, because the sun is the ruler of resources and everything. 12th house is the house of giving, because that's the place to, you know, expenditure and giving also. So people who have sun in the 12th house are very good givers. Okay, so those things are there. Sun in the 12th is complicated, but nevertheless it is Madanakarak. So, this is something, yeah. Whenever we've been talking about benefits in Kendra, who can provide redeeming qualities in all these Balavishta conditions, Jupiter, Mercury, Shubhapati, they can do it. Yeah.
Could you just say just a very few, one point on Rahu in the 9th?
Yeah, Rahu in the 9th. 9th house is the temple. And it is also the house of the priest and the house of the guru. So Rahu is basically the devil. He's the black one, right? So what is the devil doing preaching the Bible? What is he doing in the temple preaching the Bible? That's not his job anyway. And why would the thief want to go to the temple anyway? He's going to feel like dying if he has to go to the temple and teach a scripture. So that's why Rahu's Madanakarak in the 9th house. Rahu Madanakarak in the 9th house is a difficult combination if you have it. But yet at the same time Rahu is your Atma Karaka, then if that person becomes very spiritual, then that Rahu can flip over, and definitely after the age of 45 there will be a major change. But depends if the person follows a very spiritual path. We have seen that amongst people who know that they are very, very spiritual people, then they are. Otherwise, Rahu in the ninth is not at all desirable. Okay.
They may change their religion also.
They may change their religion also, no, because, yeah.
For Malefic, if this in Maranakara, can we generalize that its Malefic effect is?
No. Aspect. It's all these Valarishta yogas.
Hmm. On the, in general,
in general, when we are looking, examining the status of a planet, of course, we take in everything into consideration. When I was telling Ravi that his Venus is Vakri in the 6th house, that it is because Venus is Maranakarak over there. So, you can make out that the real lot of problem is coming from the Venus. Said Abdul Ghani. But not when we are looking at Valarishta yogas. Valarishta yogas is Maranakarak, you can give up your aspects, like, you know, affliction on moon aspects are very important. Now this Chatpura, we are not going to really, we just go over the point, we don't go into depth over here. There are some points on Pura and there is another slide on Reshkana. We will not go into that because you know you haven't done the Vardas and Pura and Reshkana are very advanced Vardas, so we are not going to go into that. It just says Sun in the ninth house, it's a combination. Sun in the ninth house, Saturn in the seventh house, and Jupiter and Venus in the 11th house, that the native lives only for 1 month. It's a combination again for Balarishtha. Now, Sun in the 9th house and Saturn in the 7th, you can see that Saturn is aspecting that Surya in the 9th house. Just not that. But Jupiter and Venus also in the 11th house. They say that basically nobody has been there to, you know, hear. Most commentators take this as, okay, right in the first line of the shloka, it says, Horayam Navame Surya Saptamastha Shaneshara. Okay. So now the whole thing is that this word Horayam, that is Hora, can be interpreted in three ways. These are the issues we come up with when we are studying the shlokas. The three ways is, what they've written is, one is that most commentators take this to be Lagna. That from Lagna, Sun in 9th and Saturn in 7th have this combination. But they said this can be correct, but we have yet to see this combination in a single chart because nobody has survived to tell the tale. Okay. So we don't know. The second point, it says, it can refer to the placement from Hora Lagna. Are you all with me on this?
Yes.
The shloka is saying Horayam Navame Surya. So that's the question is arising, what is Horayam? So one, if it is Lagna, then we don't know much about it. Alright? Otherwise it can be Hora Lagna. There is a special point, I don't know, Guruji will probably do Vishesha Lagna, it is all part of PJC 1. These are special points in the chart. From Hora Lagna there is a point. So let's say maybe it is from Hora Lagna we see. These placements are from Hora Lagna. That means that's a very new thing to determine longevity from Hora Lagna, where Hora is basically all kind of wealth that you have. And the third interpretation can be that it refers to the D2 chart. Right? It refers to the D2, the second Varga chart is called the Hora chart. So that it can refer to the Hora chart. So Horayam means this in the, that this combination has to be seen in the Hora chart. D2. So there is, you know, many shlokas it is like this. Then you have, then we go into like great advanced depths to actually analyze and see which one it is correct or not correct. But definitely, if you ask me, I definitely don't think the first one is the correct. I don't think it is Lagna. If it was Lagna, why would he have written Horayam? So it is either 2 or 3. Question comes to either 2 or 3. If it is the second one, Hora Lagna, nobody, we've never studied seeing death from Hora Lagna. So it's probably the Hora chart. Why again from the Hora chart we should suddenly see longevity? We don't know. Can be a stray combination that he has given. Alright, these things, a lot of people blindly take it and they think that that is the from the Lagna, but definitely it is not. Rest of the shloka is very simple. Horayam Navame Surya Saptamastha Shaneshchara Ekadashi Guru Shukra Masam Ekam Sajivati. Only 1 month, the person will be alive. At the point. Very simple shloka.
Yet there is no reference to moon at all because it's a question of longevity.
There is no reference to moon. No. In many parts, reference is not there to the moon. If the shlokas are one after the other, you have anyway started with the moon. This whole thing is anyway related to the moon. Whole thing is related. You have to take it for granted. Like even in the earlier chapter, earlier shlokas, when they didn't speak about the moon, but they started with the moon, the sthana chakra. And then along with it, you have to take that vakra, that those, what do you call those benefits, powerless benefits. Where is all this? Everything, chakra is the focus. So chandra is going to be there anyway. Otherwise, longevity cannot be judged. Chandra has to be there, but this is there giving a specific formula. So because there is this doubt, we are not going further into it. And as you know, we discuss the grahas, the benefit, by benefit, when they are saying, what are the benefits? Powerless benefit, weak benefit. We are looking at Guru, Buddha, and we are looking at Ishvapati over there, the moon sign lord. So those are the three things that we are looking at. Correct? Yeah.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Is there any maybe hidden principle? Because Shani in 7, Guru in 11, it can be once in 12 years.
It may be, but it is giving some other hidden principle. It is giving us a clue as to where we should also see longevity. Sometimes this Hora Lagna, the Hora chart is being referred to over here. And we would not look at both Hora Lagna and the Hora chart is to do with your wealth. Why at all with wealth we should see longevity is a big question. So maybe when you do Hora chart, some issues may come up over there. But that is the big clue that we see longevity associated with that also. That is the thing.
The D2 chart, all the planets either fall in the sun or sunrise sign.
Yeah. We have 2-3 kinds of horas. We have a Somnath hora, we have Kashinath hora, then what you are talking about is a Parashari hora. So when you do Vargas, how do you know? We don't know what is being referred to here. When you do next year horas, all the three kinds of horas will be taught to you. And in the horas, there will be a discussion as to why this can, you can even raise, note it down and raise the question. How, when you study the three, whether this notion of longevity comes up or not, those who have done 2A, you've listened to the recordings, then you can see whether it falls into place or not. Okay. Now, this is a very important concept that we are going to discuss here. It's called Nishtha Graha. Okay. That is, all planets when placed in the 12th bhava are Nishtha. Note it is Nishtha and not Nashta. Nashta means to destroy. Vyaye sarve graha nishta surya shukra indu rahava visheshanna shokartaro drishtayava bhangakarina. So they are saying all planets in the 12th house are nishta. Of this sun, moon, Venus, Rahu. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about it. I think I spoke to you all a little bit about nishta graha, right? In last class, in Vyasa, little bit. Yeah, and Justin, yeah, Justin was there in Bhava. I gave a whole paper on Nishtha. If you can get that recording, you can listen to it. It's a full elaborated thing on this concept of Nishtha. So try and get the recording from the Bhava. I'll just give you the gist as much as you need to know over here that all planets in the 12th has a Nishtha. What is a Nishtha? Nishtha comes from the word Nishtha, which means a priest. The planet over there is a priest. And what is the job of the priest is to get you married. Okay, the job of the priest is to get you married. 12th house is very important. I mentioned to you is the house of sleeping. We talked about it and I'm repeating that. It is the house of sleeping with the Bhadrapadas forming the bed. It is the final sleep of death. It is the daily sleep. And it is also sleep in the form of bed pleasures. Bed is denoted in the 12th house. So it is basically for mating, but it is for marriage. Mating as important, as a very important concept of marriage. Alright, if we say 7th house is the house of relationship or partners, the dharma of the 7th house is in which house? Lovely? 3rd house. The dharma of the 7th house is in the 3rd house. What is the dharma of the 7th house? Is to copulate. So sexual union is seen in the 3rd house in the sign of Mithuna. Okay, clear on that? So from there the first, so third house, often the first attraction occurs. We call it the house of hand-holding. The first attraction will happen over there, the nibandha will happen over there, the engagement will happen over there. Okay? So once the engagement happens over there, how can we say that that will lead to marriage? What is the success of that house? The success of any house is seen in the 10th from it. So the 10th from the 3rd is the 12th house. Okay? That is why the 12th house, that if that engagement, the nibandha gets, or the hand-holding gets, culminates in marriage, then that will have to be in the 12th house. So the planet over there, and if you don't have a planet, then the laws. So the planet number one, always planets in a bhava have the highest thing, followed by the laws. So both the planet and the laws, their job is to get you married. He's the priest, Nishtra. Alright, now in this, it's a very interesting thing that Parashara tells us, that these four planets, Sun, Moon, Venus and Rahu, are a bit destructive of Soma. Soma is what? That is a Jalatattva, right? We do need Jalatattva for marriage. All of you are very clear about that? Jalatattva is required for marriage. But then if you have excessive Jalatattva, that is also not good. So basically, Sun, Moon, Venus and Rahu can give excessive Jalatattva. Rahu, because it's a bhogi planet, all of you know that. Moon and Venus is because they are Jalatattva planets. So they will give excessive Jalatattva over there. And Surya, because Surya gets you married for, you know, that you need to continue the lineage and have children. So Surya kind of compels marriage also. So these four planets are supposed to be a little bit destructive of the Soma. But they also have the, but when they are aspecting the 12th house, it is good. Then the Soma is not excessive. So see, there is a difference between placed in the 12th house and aspecting the 12th house. So a Venus aspecting the 12th house is fantastic. If in a dual sign Venus is in 6th house, the Maranakara, it is, if it is aspecting the 12th house, it is very good for marriage. Alright, but if it is in 12th house, then there is excessive Soma. Excessive rasa. Okay? And why placement? Because always remember the placement of a planet in a bhava is the strongest. Sambandha. Okay? Lord always comes second. So, these four planets are in excess, but all planets will get you married. All of them. Moon will get you married for the society. Sun will make it a spiritual marriage. Rajesh, go and throw some water in your, cold water on your face and come. I know after lunch it is difficult. Look, I'm taking my Yama Yoga. Anna was trying to thrust tea on me. I knew tea is not going to work. Y'all have had a heavy morning. You don't realize the things that we are discussing are very heavy. Takes a toll. Till now it has been easy for you in a different way. So you are most welcome to go splash some cold water on your face. I understand we've all been through this ourselves. Stop me whenever you want a little break. If after about half an hour you want to walk around for 5-10 minutes, let me know. Okay? No problem. So Moon will give the marriage for society, for social things. Sun for spiritual things, to have children. Rahu to anyway is a bhoga. Venus will do it for, well, Venus will do it. Venus is always for marriage. Venus is all about marriage. All it wants to do is get married. So Venus is fine. Mars. What do you think about Mars? You tell me.
For increasing the territories.
Sorry?
For increasing the territories.
Increasing territories. What does that have got to do with Mars? Tell me about Mars.
So when they get married, they can get their territory also if there's increase of the kingdom.
Four territories, okay. That's a thoughtful answer. Some, anybody more? Mars? Mars in 12th will definitely get you married, because every single planet over there gets you married, okay? But Mars is not very happy. It's not a good position. In anybody's chart, if you have 12th house Mars, it's not a good position. Even 12th house Moon is not good, okay? Why? Because Mars is violence.
Yes.
Violence, abuse, whether physical, sexual, mental, any kind of violence. In a very bad combinations, it can give rape, it can give incest, that kind. That is the most extreme point. A lot of people tend to, with Mars in 12, tend to have extramarital affairs. Because there is that abusing of relationship which is there. They definitely marry you, but that abusing of relationship is there. Okay? Anybody has Mars in 12 over here? Nobody's going to put up there. Yeah, you can put up.
Oh, no, I don't know.
My wife has.
Your wife has.
But actually, we're not legally married. Ah. We've been together for 13 years.
But you're not legally married.
But we're planning to get married.
Yes. Do some Mars remedy. Think about it, maybe of course I don't know her full chart, but maybe you can see the full chart and see. Of course you have to see the whole chart, you know that. And who else, Kanika? You have it, nothing, 12,000. So you have had some experience.
Yes.
You have had. She has had experience. It's not a happy year.
My first marriage was.
Your first marriage was
very bad.
Very bad. And in the second marriage have you had, you always have to be careful. That your husbands don't...
I have Mangalik Dosha.
You have Mangalik Dosha. So if you have Mars in the 12th house, so it can be that your husband would be either abusive or violent physically or mentally, or can tend to look at other women and have...
Yes, great anger inside.
Great anger inside, yes. Anger inside and gives extramarital affairs also. So you will have to be careful with that.
Does it give Mars in the 12th, means you or your spouse, or always the spouse?
The spouse, means you are experiencing it. Your spouse will have these qualities. Your spouse will have these qualities, but it will get you married. Mars in the 12th is not a desirable combination at all. Ketu will also give you married, as I told you, Ketu kulasya unnati. But Ketu creates a little problem. It often gives a relationship for 3 years. And then tends to break it. So it gives you a relationship and everything else promotes it. You should quickly get married. The remedy for that is, which many of you may have heard, remedy for that is keeping a dancing Ganesha in your, near your bedstand, near your, you know.
For Ketu.
Huh?
For Ketu.
For Ketu.
Ketu in 12 gives 3-year relationship.
Ketu in 12 years, after 3 years, it has a tendency to break it.
My cousin has this.
Your cousin.
And he got divorced after exactly
3 years. It's a problematic, disruptive thing, and dancing Ganesha is a remedy. Although Ketu can get you married because Ketu wants children. So Ketu Kulasya Unnati is a famous sutra of Germany. To increase the Kula. Kula is the lineage increase. Son also wants that the lineage should continue. Line should continue because it's a patrilineal. So Son also likes that. Saturn can create some coldness, will get you married but will create some coldness. So for Saturn you can keep a standing statue of Narayana in the bedside. You have to be careful because even if it is Narayana, so there's a notion of purity. But Ganesha, standing Ganesha people do. So
Saturn
Ganesha for Saturn too,
maybe
Narayana
or
Ketu. Sorry?
Standing Ganesha can work
for Ketu. No, for Ketu. Because the deity for Ketu is Ganesha. Yeah.
But Lord Vishnu is considered Narayana, or we have to choose some specific sort of that?
Narayana. Saturn, Narayana. The deity is Narayana. So standing Narayana, but as I said, with Narayana you have to be very careful because of the purity. Yeah.
It just brings coldness to
it. It brings coldness, it can bring a bit of sorrow. It will all get you married. All of them will get you married, but some of them have a little baggage with them. It can give coldness, it can give sorrow. Okay?
I mean, standing
so with the spouse of the native, or it will happen to the native?
The person has it in God's house. It will happen to the JPO or to the spouse of the
I don't understand your question.
The person has.
Suppose you have Saturn in the church. What does it mean, you think, and
so
tell me?
Did that I experience sad and sorrow, or will the spouse, because of me, experience sad and sorrow?
Why? That will mean the spouse's chart.
So
everything in your. No, you think, then you'll get the answer. Everything is for you, the experience is yours.
But
the experience is yours only. Your spouse will do all this.
But it is going to be our spouse, and experience will be of you.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Does it have to be the spouse? It cannot be you doing it?
No.
No. So Mars in the 12th is not showing someone who is being physically abused.
Yeah, that it can show. That it's you, it's your experience. No. You try to understand. That is my experience. If I have Mars in the 12th house, then I'm suffering from Mars in the 12th house. What experience of Mars? Why will it be my spouse's chart? If you think a little bit, you'll get the answer.
So we attract that kind of experience from that spouse.
Yeah. I will experience physical abuse. My husband will have an affair. Why will, if I have an affair, it will show my wife, husband's chart, no? If you have an affair, it will show in your wife's chart. Why will it show in your chart? It will show in your chart in a different way. It will show that, you know, you do these things. You are a happy-go-lucky person, it will show. That's a different thing. But your experience will be in your chart. If she has Mars in 12th house, what did I tell her? You be careful. Meaning that's her experience over there. She's already had one experience. Even in the second experience, I told her to be careful. Her husband, you know, will have a tendency to look at other women, or she will have a tendency that her husbands will abuse her in different ways. It can be to the extent that people can get cheated pretty badly. So it's your experience. Violence is your experience.
What is the remedy for this mass?
I don't know what the remedy is. I don't have remedies for everything. Whatever I know, I'm telling you. It's not a remedy for everything. We generally need to do a mass remedy. Generally, you may have to do general Mars remedies. You see Mars in your chart, how it is placed, and you do general remedies for Mangal.
This shloka is coming directly after the Hora one, no?
Yeah.
So, we need to try and understand why.
That Hora shloka, that's why we left it untreated. We never went deep into that because of it, because we are unsure what it refers to. I mean, definitely at this level of PJC 1, we are not going to be discussing. That is a question. So whether it was taken up in PJC 2 while discussing Hora, we'll have to check that.
But we've been discussing longevity all along. Huh. And this 12th house, you said, is also about longevity. Hmm. So in a sense, because I can understand Nishtha is the graha that's going to get you married. Right. But it must be saying something about longevity.
Yeah, it can. No, no. So, that it is also the bed. No? You are dying, it is the bed. It is the nakshatras which are involved over here. 12th house is the bed. So it also is bringing marriage. So he's mentioned that over here. He's not done. He doesn't have a marriage chapter.
Wait. It's especially destructive of soma, he's saying, and soma is kind of like the juices in the body, the all just the everything, and so that is might be saying. I don't know. I'm just thinking here. But if you have all those planets in the 12th house, it might bring too many relationships, and through that excessive relationship, you are actually destroying.
It is excessive soma, because anybody with, you know, like Venus and all that in the 12th house, it is excessive soma, too much of relationships. Yes, so it can be that it is too much of ojas going away.
Going away.
Going away of ojas can very well be. But then we should look at Drishkana for that. No? If you want to look at ojas going away, we should be looking at Somnath Drishkana. Maybe you should look at Somnath Navamsha. So you go back and listen to your 2A and listen to Somnath.
First he mentioned Hora.
Somnath
Hora.
So listen about Somnath Hora.
Very interesting.
Listen to about Somnath Hora. So I have a hunch, I don't know whether he mentioned it or not. Go and listen to Somnath Hora again. Because Somnath Navamsha, Drishkana, we know that they are talking about ojas. Definitely in Somnath Drishkana we see ojas. But about the Hora we don't know. There is a connection, I'm telling you, between the wealth. There is a connection between wealth and longevity. And what you are saying is also a very valid point, that when there is too much of soma that has gone away, ojas that has gone away, the body is depleted of ojas. You understood what the point she is making? Because when there is too much of relationship, there is a depletion of ojas. Because the soma is getting destroyed over there. Too much depletion of ojas leads to lower longevity. So that is also, these are all additional points. Who are supposed to think like this and do it? They are genuine scholars, so they are thinking like this. They know. Yeah.
Sabaniji, you are discussing the impact of planets in the 12th house on the nature of the marital relations. So how is that different from studying the seventh house for marriage relations?
No, this planet gets you married. It's the priest.
It just gets you married.
Yeah, it's the priest. Yeah, it gets you married.
Not the relationship.
No, it gets you married. It's the priest who gets you married. Because the bed is over there. So you will see that many times you do get married in the dasha after dasha of the Nishtha Graha, whether it is the planet in the 12th house or the 12th lord. Alright?
What about Buddha?
Mercury and Jupiter?
Yeah, Jupiter is the most balanced one. Very good to have Jupiter in the 12th house. See, these are, we are going into a little details of what the planets will show, but basically all the planets will get you married. That is the point. That is the main point you are getting to. And largely what he's saying is that these planets, Moon and Venus and Rahu and Surya, they can destroy the soma. It is too excessive. But if they are aspecting the 12th house, then it is good. If they are placed over there, it is bad. So here it is written, Neshtas from Neshtra, referring to one of the chief officiating priests at a soma sacrifice. He who leads forward the wife of the sacrifice and prepares the Surya anyway.
Yes, she's also to go. So it's yeah. Like all these in the 12th house is making things go. That's why I think they're reducing somehow.
No, no, no. It is not making things to go. The main point here is the Nishtra. That is the chief priest. It is the chief priest. We use Nishtha Graha all the time. I talked about Nishtha Graha also. Nishtha Graha marries you. That is it. Underline. Nishtha Graha marries you. You will get married in the Dashanta Dasha of Nishtha Graha. Whenever Nishtha Graha Dashanta Dasha will come up, if you are married, then some other person will be, showing interest in you.
And if there is no planet, then the
Lord. Yeah. Absolutely. That job is that. Is the 12th house bed pleasure. See, that's what I'm saying. If you go down to the root, you see the nakshatra. The nakshatras, the two bhadrapadas, represent the bed over there. And the bed is for sleeping. The bed is for the dead. Bed is for bed pleasures. Sexuality. That's why their job is to get a partner in the bed for you. It is the priest. That is the main thing. Everything else is now, additional detail-y things which we can go into. But don't, miss the wood for the trees.
Yeah,
Oven.
You have a mix of those.
No, two or three planets, that means that definitely all those planets, you have a very active 12th house and there'd be a lot of Nishtha activity happening. It's a lot of planets over 12th house means, you will get a mixed result, but more than the mixed result is that Soma will be involved in your life. You will have relationships, a lot of opportunities to get married. All those planets will vie to get you married. When I got married, my Jupiter is in Kumbha in the 12th house. Alright, I got married in Jupiter Rahu. Jupiter is a planet placed, Rahu is the Lord. I got married in Jupiter Rahu. It works bang on, I'm telling you. Dasha Antar Dasha, sure. It works very much in prediction. There, this is what it's saying. All planets in the 12th bhava from Lagna brings in the mating partner who can also be the spouse. And they all work like the Neshtra, who is the priest who leads the wife to the sacrifice. And the lord of the 12th house are also delighted to work as the Neshtra and the lead partner. All that I've been talking about. Loss of vitality occurs when this is in excess and can lead to death. There, Mariella, your point. See, they are Jaimini scholars. They are trained to think like that. So they go and think deeper. Okay, one day you will be able to do that as well. And the converse can happen, the health is restored if any of these four planets aspect the 12th bhava. Okay, here's an example of Gandhi's chart. Alright, Gandhi has Surya in the 12th house. Okay, Tula Lagna, are you following the chart?
Yes.
Tula Lagna with Shukra Mars Mercury over there and Surya in the 12th house. So that is the active Neshtha, you can say. One planet. Now if you take the 12th lord, that is Mercury, and that 12th lord Mercury is joined Venus and Mars in the Lagna. Now that Venus is a very powerful Venus, Lagnesha, Pavipalavya Mahapurusha Yoga. Okay? So he got married in Venus Dasha and Sun Anta Dasha. Even if Venus was not conjoined to the 12th Lord, Venus just by being Venus, because that's his job. Most people, a lot of people get married in Venus Dasha Antargatyantar. Okay? So Venus Dasha, Sun Anta Dasha. And this was in May 83. Then it says in 85, Gandhi retires to the bedroom and that he was, with his wife at the time when his father died. And then apparently that, he could never get over. He felt a guilt. It happens that, at that time I was engaged in my personal pleasures when my father died. It happens naturally. Such things will come into the mind. And he became a celibate at the age of 36 while still married. Okay. Moon and Rahu. Okay. So the thing is that the interesting thing is that Surya, because Surya gives a spiritual thing, that Surya gave him spirituality also. Gave him the path of celibacy also. Nishtha is also conjoined Venus and Mars, but that is not the main reason it did. But because it's conjoined Venus and Mars, and Venus and Lagna is very strong in its own sign, he experimented with sexuality, as all of you know. And that experimentation wasn't good, because very recently, as of I think a couple of years ago, many of you, at least the Indians, have seen pictures, photographs of him with his arms around his two nieces. So one of those nieces, I forget the name, has published her diary, or rather her diary has been published. And there, all the things that she's written, it's actually very, very perverse. Like there are the two, three women who were there with him. It is not just experimenting, which where he was just lying with these women naked and challenging his celibacy power. That was not just that. There was one other lady who was a doctor. And this lady who was a doctor also used to be with him, said that he used to go and take bath and make the lady come into the bathroom with him and make the lady be naked and take bath with him. Now these are perversities, right? This is no experimentation. These are perversities. He used to bathe. She has written over there that, all three of us are in bed with him and he is, touching us and all those things. Yes, her diary is very explicit. So if you see that 12th Lord Mercury, okay, 12th Lord Mercury is in Shukra in Lagna.
Absolutely.
It is gone out of bounds. It's very clear. And Venus and Mars together is a very strong sexuality yoga.
Yeah.
We even use it to see rape and all that if it is put badly. So for him that was very clear. So the Neshta was very strongly activated, you can see. Sun over there got him married, so he had a spiritual wife and all those kind of things. Okay. So too much of ojas is not good. Too much of this excessive soma is not good. It depletes your ojas. That is why the rishis and the munis, why they used to do so much of tapasya and they had high longevity. They say that actually that destroys your vitality and longevity. The traditional concept that you have, that you are only, it is for procreation and not too much for other things. It should be within bounds. But people who do it very excessively, they say it hits your ojas. And if it hits your ojas, it hits your longevity. There is no doubt about it. That is why rishis converted that sexual energy into a spiritual energy. The whole thing about that chinnamasta thing, where you are converting the whole sexual energy into yogic energy is that. This whole thing about ojas is very interesting, the soma and the ojas business. Okay, then we go to Tamas Chandra. Alright?
Neshtagraha
is from 12th from Lagna. We don't do 12th from Chandra for that. But 12th from Chandra we do see also for happiness in relationships. So 12th from Chandra is important for your mental happiness. But it doesn't act as a Neshta. That is 12th from Lagna. But because it is to do with the mind, the manas, our mental happiness, we do see 12th from Chandra. That is why 12th from Chandra is very important, because in Gochara, if you have malefic planets aspecting 12th from Chandra, it is bad for relationships. At that time, relationships can break and things like that can happen. If you have a malefic planet child from Chandra or a child lord from Chandra malefic, that can also break relationships.
In the natal chart.
In the natal chart, of course. Everything I'm talking about is natal chart. I'm not talking about anything non-natal.
It's mentioned about transit chart.
No, that is in the natal chart only. Transit in natal chart. Not in any other Amusha. Transit in natal chart only. So the thing is that if it transits 12 from moon, it is bad. Malefic transits 12 from moon is bad. Malefic planets placed in 12 from moon is bad. It can destroy your relationships. It will destroy your peace of mind and destroy. It's a very important point. It is not Neshta, but it is very important point. You will be attracted to such people. Planets in 12 from the moon, there is a very strong attraction for such people because there is a connection of the moon. That is why you know, we say that Saturn's transit 12 from moon is not bad. Mars's transit 12 from moon is not good. Saturn's transit, Mars's transit is not good. It destroys your peace of mind and destroys relationships.
In terms of the planetary strengths, so we have four planets here which we say that which will transit 12 from moon. Based on the planetary strength.
No, four planets transit 12 from moon, Mane. Saturn's transit 12 from moon, Mars's transit 12 from moon, Rahu's transit moon. Malefic planets we are talking about.
But which one will be the more powerful in terms of general quantity?
No. There is no this thing. It all depends on how it is in your chart and all those things. You can't say it like that. You have to see how it is in Gojira, how it is in your chart. In your chart, it is what sign, what natal planet is over there, what is there. Okay, as I told you, each chart is unique. Accordingly, it will be less damaging for some and more damaging
absolutely,
for the other.
Absolutely.
I literally have Mars as 12th Lord. I don't have a planet 12th from my moon, but I have Mars as 12th Lord from my moon. That is just congenitally, that is a very bad combination. Guruji is always talking to me about that. That says that Mars has caused disturbances in my life for you. But always be careful with that Mangal. And I have that Mangal sitting with Chandra. That Mars will tend to cause disturbance. People of Mars, Lagna, will try to cause disturbance to me.
Absolutely.
Alright? To my marriage.
Yes.
They will have, people of Mars, Lagna, will have a tendency to cause disturbance to my marriage. Whether for me it's another man or another woman, whatever. Or just somebody, you know, just can be anybody. Can just be a student or anybody who's making mischief. Doing anything, it can just be another person attracted. Mars is very dicey, always. So, 12 from moon is a very important question he raised. He raised a different question, but that opened this point out to me. Very crucial to see. Will not bring the spouse in that way, it's not an ishta, but can bring the person to make or break. You see, very, very important. These are little things when you see the chart, you know, somebody is coming, come to you and they feel that you're going to get through a divorce, it's going to happen, my husband wants to divorce me, we are coming to us with these things. And then I said, oh, next 6 months, and I see, oh my God, something bad transiting in the 12th from her moon. You know, then you always tell them that, you know, next 4 months be careful, 6 months be careful, what can you say? Sometimes you see that it's going to break, but you can't tell that because you want to always make the person positive. Many times women are crying and they come, my husband wants to leave me and all that. In that kind of situation, tell them, you know, like you give that. So those points are there. So now we come to Tamas Chandra. Tamas Chandra, the point is saying moon in Lagna, 7th or 9th. That is moon in month 7 or 9. Note this down. With at least one malefic and without any benefic. This moon can be a malefic moon and can cause death. Now by now, you should have got used to the fact that whenever we are saying at least one malefic aspect or conjunction and no benefic aspect or conjunction or weak benefic aspect or conjunction. You must know that. Remember, yes, this is the point I was trying to remember from the morning I did mention, I suddenly remembered. When we were talking, again it comes in this context, that benefics will help or relieve. And when benefics cannot help, if the benefic himself or herself is weak and is in a papa yoga or a papa kartari yoga. A benefic in a papa yoga or a papa kartari yoga is not a strong bending. Do you know what a papa kartari yoga is? Kartari means scissors. So if you have, say, a planet in one house and two malefic planets, or one malefic planet in the second and the one malefic planet in the 12th round. If you have these combinations, alright, then that is the papa kartari yoga. That benefit will not be able to influence some good, get the chandra out of this situation. So all the situations we've been talking about. Or in a papa yoga on one side. Okay? So remember this, papa yoga, papa kartari yoga, benefits become very weak. That point is repeated in shloka after shloka. I want that to get into your heads. With one malefic, benefits being weak or powerless. And where is he saying, is the position of the moon is 1, 7 or 9. So it's not just Bhusthana, right? It's not just 6, 8 and 12. He is talking about 1, 7 and 9 here as well. So make that note. What an important graha this moon is. We are discussing it all on Monday. Why is he saying this? It's saying moon is the mind and malefic planets afflicting the mind, in particular the papa grahas, Mars, Saturn, Rahu or Ketu, cause tamas guna to prevail in the mind. Remember we talked about tamas gunas of the mind signifying the Vimshottari dashas. So they are saying that whenever there is a malefic aspect on the moon, the tamas guna is going up. Alright, why is it 1, 7 or 9th excess? Because it's basically lagna that is being affected. 1, 7 is lagna axis, 9 is lagna trikona. So the head, directly your intelligence, your mind, how it is working. Moon itself is 9, so when the moon itself is placed in this position, it's like doubly working on your subconscious. Stubborn mind clings to anger and depression, indulging in emotions and testing the nerves. Mass killers and other terrible evils are caused by moon in 1, 7, 3 or 9 houses with papa grahas. Maranakarak planets are also papa in their action, although well conceived. Who asked me about Maranakarak planets? That whether we take Maranakarak planets into consideration, somebody had asked me when we started post-lunch. The person doesn't remember who asked me. Who asked me that? Right after lunch when we started, do we take Maranakarak planets into these corrections of evil? So see here, this is the answer. That Maranakarak planet will also be papa in this configuration, but they will operate in a concealed manner. You don't get to know. Okay. Here we are taking 1, 7, 3 or 9, but largely it is 1, 7, 9. Which is it? Because that is directly aspect affecting the lagna. Lagna is mind, right? And moon is also the mind. So it's a double whammy over there. Okay.
So this means MKS should be from the moon?
Huh?
No.
No.
So the MKS from the lagna affect the moon also?
Yes, of course. We don't see Maranakarak sthana from moon. We've never heard about it. We only see it from lagna. Don't stretch around too much. Be very focused. Okay. Why we are saying that these malefics also should be trines to the moon. Constantly we are saying trines. It's a lagna effect. The first and ninth houses affect men more. Third and seventh houses affect women more. That's why 1, 3, 7, 9 is given. Anybody has this combination? You have. Okay, before we take both your chart, I will like to tell you the chart about Hitler. It's always good to see somebody else's chart. Do you know Hitler's chart? Can you quickly draw Hitler's chart? Because the next 5 years you're going to be tortured with Hitler's chart. Please draw it.
Means he's torturing us even after his exit.
We do Hitler's chart a lot. We do the Gandhi family chart a lot. We do... just draw Hitler's chart. Is Tula Lagna? Tula Lagna, quickly. You must get used to drawing charts all the time. Your hands should pain trying to catch up with drawing charts, okay? So Jupiter, Moon and Ketu in the third house. Tula Lagna, Jupiter, Moon and Ketu in the third house. Alright, and seventh house you have Venus, Mars, Sun, Mercury. Venus, Mars, Sun, Mercury. Venus, Mars, Sun, Mercury. Rahu in the 9th, Saturn in the 4th, 10th. Rahu in the 9, Saturn in the 10. So can we see that this formula is working? So just see, Moon is in the 3rd house, alright? Moon is in the 3rd house, so do we have malefic aspecting? Ketu doesn't aspect. Expecting Moon, what was the formula? What does the shloka say? Moon in 1, 7, 3 or 9, right? With at least one malefic aspecting. Yeah, we put 3 out here.
We put 3 out there.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's opposite 9. At least one malefic aspecting. Is at least one malefic aspecting? Rahu is aspecting. Right?
Yes.
Rahu is aspecting from the 9th house. Moon.
Yeah.
Ketu is with Moon. Rahu is aspecting.
And Jupiter is acting like a malefic because it's MKS.
So now Ketu will also act as a malefic.
Ketu, why?
It will act as a malefic also, right? Sitting with.
And if it wasn't, what does Ketu do? What do you think Ketu is? Ketu is a malefic. Except for moksha matters, Ketu is a malefic. It can give a lot of good things, not because it's sitting out there, but it is a malefic. It is disturbing the mind, all right. Okay, there is Jupiter now. Who are the protectors? What are the 3 protectors? We have to see the protectors.
Mercury,
that's right. Jupiter and?
Moon.
Venus. So I told you all right now that what are the 3 benefits that we must look at? Jupiter, Mercury and Shubhapati. So where is Jupiter? Jupiter is in Maranakarak Sthana. So there Jupiter is not very good. Maranakarak Sthana is concealed danger. Where is Mercury? Mercury is also in a Maranakarak Sthana and along with some bad guys. What is Shubhapati? Shubhapati is also Jupiter, so it's in a Maranakarak Sthana. So, though there were some good planets, he had a good life. He was born and initially he had a good life. But eventually the protection of Shiva, Vishnu and Prajapati didn't work. The mind gets completely eclipsed. Mind is totally and absolutely eclipsed over there, you can see. Eclipsed by Ketu, eclipsed by the own Shivapati, Guru's in Maranakarak, Mercury's in Maranakarak. Absolutely, it's a very malefic moon. That's what we are trying to say. Tamas means dark energy, very dark energy. So this moon is a very dark energy. That is what you need to find out, how the moon is. Alright? And you can also see that this Mars and Sun is in trines to the moon. Remember, we also pointed it out that the malefics also should be in trines to the moon. So Mars and Sun is in trines to the moon. Rahu having Drishti and Mars and Sun trines to the moon. So either way is caught up with him. Okay? Look at this chart. Look at this chart. This is of somebody called Andrew Kunan, and I don't know exactly who he was, but just see this, he's Mesha Lagna, Moon is in Lagna, right? Is there a malefic aspect?
Mars.
It is sitting with Saturn. I don't know why people are missing that. That is the highest sambandha. When a planet is together with something, it is the highest thing. It's not looking at me from outside. If I say the cat over there is not looking at me from the lawn, the cat is sitting here with me. So is my sambandha with the cat closer here or if the cat is out there? What is closer?
Here.
Here. When the cat is here in the room next to me, his sambandha with me is closer, isn't it?
Yes.
Then when he is sitting out in the lawn and looking at me, that is more far away. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. So planet sitting is the strongest combination. Shani is over there sitting. Well, I don't know why. You must understand this. You try to understand this. I get very bugged when you don't.
They're being treated also.
But it is also debilitating. It is also Varnakarakstana. Varnakarakstana is also double malefic. Debilitating is triple malefic. It is retrograde. But retrograde benefit is bad. It's not a retrograde malefic. So it's basically debilitated in the lagna, and so the moon is very, very tamas. Is there any redeeming benefit factors over here?
Venus.
Huh?
Nothing. Venus. Only Venus.
Only some Venus, right?
Venus.
Because otherwise Jupiter and Mercury. Hello. I want you to apply. Don't think about your own chart stuff. Apply it. Sun. What? How? Tell me about what were the points of the shloka.
Sun Ketu is also in trine from the moon.
Sun Ketu, yes, very good, is trine from the moon. So it is with a very malefic planet. It is in the first house. It has malefics and trines to it, although that Surya is very strong. What else? What about the what about the Shubhapati?
Shubhapati
has gone to the 8th house. It's a god case. So we have to see the three benefits to see whether the benefits are strong or not. We have to see Jupiter, Mercury and Shubhapati. Come on. None of you are doing that. Is it redeeming? Try to see the chart. Is it or is it not? How will you make a call? You see, if you don't do that, you will make a wrong judgment on the chart. And if you make a wrong judgment, you will give a wrong prediction. That is what is happening. When you sometimes say, there are so many people, everybody's passed out, but why do people read differently? Because it all depends on the diagnosis, right? If your reading of the chart is wrong, you will give a wrong prediction and a wrong remedy and a wrong answer.
Yes.
This is the crux you must know. You must know how to apply all those things. None of you are seeing the redeeming factors. We went through these redeeming factors again and again and again. So tell me about the redeeming factors. Are there any redeeming factors?
No.
Why do you say so?
Because? Mars, the Lord and Moon Lord. Mars,
yeah, Shubhapati. Is it the?
Sixth.
Is it the 8th house? What about the other redeeming benefit
Venus.
Nothing is aspecting Jupiter, Mercury in 6th house. Nothing is aspecting.
Are you supposed to aspect?
Yeah,
but aspect or be powerful? You have to know, is it saving the chart? Is Jupiter and Mercury well placed? Is it powerful?
No.
I'm constantly repeatedly not me, but I should say I'm repeating after Parashara. Constantly from that first shloka to sthana. How are the benefits?
Are
they weak? Are they powerful? Answer that.
Jupiter
is weak because?
Sixth house.
Thank you. Jupiter is in a dushtana. What about Mercury?
Mercury
is in a dushtana. Though exalted, it is in a dushtana. Shubhapati has gone to again to 8th house. So these things are not strong. Yes, there is a Shukra and they, but you are largely looking at Jupiter, Mercury and Shubhapati. There is a Venus over there. And there is a horrible, all the combinations are there of the shloka. You people are refusing to look at the other things. Throughout every hundreds of charts we did in the class, refusing to look. We examined the Rajesh's chart and who else? Poshat's chart. All the charts were just wholly high about how the benefits are so strong. And that's why all those bad yogas didn't work. Constantly he's saying, you have to see how the benefits are. It depending how the benefits are, they are redeeming or not redeeming. You have to see it fully. Open your eyes and see. You don't see, nothing will work. Then you say these shlokas don't work. That's what you say next. It doesn't work because you're not following it. He's saying this repeatedly, right from the first shloka. So this none of this works, right? Okay? So although there is a shukra over there, but all the other conditions are fulfilled. Now let us see what he wrote. Spree murderer who killed 5 people between April 97 to July 97. His final murder was fashion designer Gianni Versace in July 97. 8 days later, in July 97, he shot himself in the head in the upstairs bedroom. Now, it is only this time he did it. He didn't do it in his whole life. Are you observing? It is between April to July 97 that he suddenly went and murdered 5 people. Okay? And after that, within a few days, he killed himself also. Something happened to him. This was Moon Dasha, Satananta Dasha. Exactly this period. Something happened to him which made him flip the bent in the next Mercury Antar Dasha. Moon Dasha was the end. He flipped. And why won't he flip? Because that moon is in the Lagna. Look at that Saturn, so high in the effect. Look at all the combinations. Nothing is supporting. Nothing. It is a very, this chart has been given to you because it has the full extreme combination. Now, of course, very good, a lot of people won't have this. It just flipped. Saturn moon is not a good combination in the way it is placed over here. Yeah.
He's also out there after the
discussion. Okay.
Since after we finish the discussion.
T, yeah. Okay.
Now I have a question.
Yes.
See, the saving factors are planets should be in trines.
No.
Benefit planet should be
no, in trines. No, no, no. Benefit planet has to be powerful. You have to see the, what do you mean by powerful? It is not specified. You have to know what a powerful planet is. There are a lot of combinations of powerful planets. You have to make that judgment. As you study and learn, you will know how to make a judgment. It is very easy for these people because they are doing it over the years. When you are new, this is what will cause you trouble. Is it powerful? Is it not powerful? You are trying to fix it into a formula. Don't fix it into a formula. Okay? You will learn slowly what, how and where planets are powerful. We saw Rahul's wife's chart. That girl was a Jupiter in the second house, but in its own sign. Jupiter in Pisces is fantastic. As it is, Jupiter is the greatest benefic in a chart.
But here Mercury is powerful, it's in exaltation.
It is in exaltation, but it is in a sixth house. It is a sixth house, those sthana. Placement is bad. Mercury is in sixth house, Jupiter is in sixth house, Shubhapati is in eighth house.
So they have to be in Kendras or Trikonas?
They have to be in Kendra or Trikona. If that Mercury exalted, say for example, was in Kendra, then it would have become a Bhadra Mahapurush Yoga. It would have fought very hard to battle that thing. That bad Shani and all those other things. And all the other things are lining up. You have the malefics in the trines. This particular combination also wants malefics in trines. Right? So all the combinations are fitting. It's a very distinct kind of a chart. Okay, yes. We'll just do Jia and Cindy, okay? And then we'll stop for tea break. Tell me.
I have just one doubt, sorry.
Yeah, tell me.
You have mentioned about Shivapati.
Yes.
I'm just trying to see which shloka is that. I don't see.
No, no. He has just said benefits all throughout.
Okay.
If you so go through.
We are not considering Venus as a benefit.
Because Jupiter, Mercury and Shubhapati in the case of longevity is the highest benefic. You will see when we do Arishtabhanga, we will also consider Shukra. I have considered Shukra in many of your charts. I have considered. Shukra is. But highest to break a very high evil, we take these first. Because Shubhapati is very, very important. Moon sign lord. Very important. And when he's saying benefits, we are supposed to know what the natural benefits are. Okay, we will quickly do Cindy and Gia's chart. Cindy first, tell me.
So, I have this
combination. Can you tell me what is your Lagna?
Scorpio.
Scorpio Lagna, okay. Where is Chandra?
In ascendant with Ketu and Mars.
Okay, you have Chandra in Lagna, Scorpio Lagna. Note Chandra is debilitated also, but is getting a Nicha Bhanga from Mangal because it is with Mars and Ketu. So it is with Mars and Ketu, not a good combination at all, right? Do you have any other malefics in 5th house and 9th house? Any malefics? You don't have any malefics in 5th house and 9th house. Where is Saturn and Rahu?
Rahu is in 7th.
So Rahu is also aspecting.
And Saturn in the 12th.
Saturn is in the 12th. Okay, there is a kind of a Papa Yoga on the Lagna. And what about Surya? Surya is in the 10th. Okay. Now we come to Jupiter and Mercury.
Mercury is retrograde with Sun.
In the 10th house. And Jupiter?
In his own sign in the 2nd.
In the own sign in the 2nd in Dhanu. So Jupiter is good because it's in his own sign, though it's in the 2nd house. Now see, here see how the Lagna
In this shloka, we are trying to see how the lagna is actually affected. That's why trikona. Moon and moon in this place and trikona. Look at the house placements. I'm sure that Rosie and Mariella will be able to immediately grasp what I've been trying to say in this. So again, hers, moon is in lagna with Mars in Ketu. That's a Pisacha yoga. And moon is debilitated. Yet, very interestingly, it is that Mars and Ketu who is giving Nicha Bhanga to the moon. But it is giving, it is unable to do so fully. It is giving Nicha Bhanga. It can't give because it is forming that Pisacha yoga over there. There is Saturn in the 12th house, which is not very good. It is giving, there is a lot of Papa Yoga on the Lagna. So the only redeeming factor actually is that Guru in its own sign in 2nd house. That is the only Shubha or benefic influence over there. Sorry, Rahu is also aspecting, excuse me so much. Tell me, Cindy, you have experienced where you feel totally crazy. You felt headless with anger. You don't know what's happening.
No, I'm more on the depressed side.
Yeah, that's because moon is debilitated.
Yeah.
So you remain in the depression, but you don't feel crazy and headless at any point. Like you don't know what's happening. Does the depression lead you to a very crazy feeling?
I might elevate the depression to...
More
intense.
Yes, of course you do. Your chart is saying that. You can speak freely here because everybody is sharing their problems. Nobody is going to discuss your chart. So the thing is that, of course it gets intense and aggravates. That is what I'm seeing. Moon, Mars and Ketu will do that. And every time Mars is or Ketu is trying to cause Nicha Bhanga, it is actually doing so by activating that Pisacha yoga. So it's a very catch-22 situation. Very catch-22. You make yourself mentally very agitated. Yes, I see it. A simple moon-Mars yoga together anywhere can make a person mentally agitated. Let alone this combination that you have. Very, very strong agitation. Tell me something. What is the tithi?
Shukla
Saptami. So at least, you know, the light-wise it is not too bad. But, you know, it's that moon in Scorpio with Mars and Ketu in Lagna. I don't know what to say. The agitation is very, very strong. You will really... Yes, tell me.
No, I kind of wondered what would happen mentally during moon dasha, because I will also be having Sati Sati at the same time. I honestly think I might die.
You won't die because you won't die. You have a Mercury in Lagna. You won't die. But...
something.
This, you will need to do remedies for this very strongly, Cindy. Because if you don't, you can just, you know, you can go even more crazy at the time. You can see this yourself. You know what I'm talking about. And you should not, I mean, you know, this agitated state that you can get into, it can go out of hand. So you are being an astrologer, that you're informed about all this. You should need to do remedies and you must work a remedy out. You need a very powerful remedy. You should catch hold of Guruji and get a remedy. You need a remedy that will bring the moon out from this. Actually, when we do Rishtabhanga, in Rishtabhanga we will see whether any of those mantras and remedies work for you. I will do Rishtabhanga tomorrow. So, we will see whether it works for you. Okay?
But could a person, like I don't ever see myself harming somebody.
No, no, not necessarily harming somebody, but you will feel crazy, right? You are feeling crazy. You are feeling so agitated. You yourself said that you work your mind up to such a level, you can go into an extreme spiraling mode. And that Mars as Shubhapati is unable to do anything, you know. Because if it is going to give Nicha Bhanga, it is activating Pisacha Yoga. It is kind of a very, very catch-22 situation. So we will see how we can do the remedies. When we do Rishta Bhanga, you definitely remind me that we should look into your chart and get a remedy. And otherwise also you should definitely, you know, this thing is because you need protection and you've not started. When is your moon dasha starting?
Oh, I have time.
Still.
I'm like
60. Okay, still. So now, Jia, what about you?
I have, my lagna is
Karka.
I have Chandra
okay.
And Rahu.
Okay.